Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. I am proudly wearing my WFAN Boomer and Gio softball jersey as we've got a game a little bit later tonight. So proudly, I know Boomer will be pleased with this, proudly wearing the jersey this morning. The Yankees had a couple of games yesterday. And that's one thing about these doubleheaders.
Good morning, handsome. How are you?
Oh, my God. I'm fragile, man.
Matt, no, it's I'm game fragile. Time. Game day today, boys.
Yeah, I know, but I'm a fragile guy.
Are you excited, man? We're going to beat down the Hebrew home tonight. I am so jacked up for this game. It's ridiculous. And we're going to have an all-star team tonight, too, by the way.
Oh, are we?
Oh, yeah.
Well, who's going to join us? I wasn't there last week.
Don't worry about it. We got some surprise people coming.
Surprise people?
Yes.
Oh, wow. All right. I kind of like that.
Yeah, by the way, you know, I figured out a way to make Chernoff smile in the morning. You know, he comes in with such a sourpuss sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It's like I've once described it as putting on a wet sweatshirt when he walks into the office.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's
right?
The feeling I get. It's like putting, when he walks into the office, it's like putting on a wet sweatshirt.
Well, yeah, he comes in, you know, every morning and likes to go over, you know, what's going on in the world of baseball, because obviously that's his first love.
Right,
and then anything else that may be out there. If Donald Trump does something stupid, he loves bringing that up and all that stuff.
Trumpy McTrump face.
So anyway, you know, this morning I decided, you know what? I'm going to turn the tides on him.
Oh, are you?
I am not going to listen to a word he says. And I'm just going to put on Daryl's House and show him a little Kenny Loggins.
Oh, okay.
So I got him locked into my office right now watching YouTube Daryl House
videos. You locked
videos.
Him in there.
Yes.
Wow.
And he's watching a little Kenny Loggins right now. He's actually just got a big old smile on his face.
Oh, that's awesome. You got to slide some gummy worms under the door to make sure that he's got some sustenance.
I mean, he's back there with Amy, and he's back there with Jackie and everything else, and they're all
watching.
Oh, he's
having a great time.
Daryl's House. Yeah, so this way I got him so completely befuddled and confused as to what's going on around here right now.
He's forgotten to bust your balls this morning.
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
Look at that. Wow, that's genius,
yes,
man.
Yes, it was. I thought it was a very good idea this morning.
The boomer mind trick.
And I'm a little tired because, you know, I went to Boston yesterday and got back late last night.
Right.
And so I just figured I just didn't want to hear it this morning.
Right. Yeah.
So now it's all about distraction and just making him think something else.
Right.
And he's going to be all happy this morning. So he's probably not going to come in and yell at Eddie and Al. He's not going to yell at you. He's not going to yell at Jerry.
Right.
And he's just going to be, he's going to feel good about it. He's going to feel good about himself.
Yeah. Fingers crossed that
he
does it.
Boomer mind trick.
Yes. Yes.
These aren't the mic drops you're looking for.
That's exactly right.
Oh, man.
Anyway, listen, at the end of the day, Aaron Judge struck out 8 times yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
That's a new record for the Yankees.
Yeah,
I'm not sure whose record he broke. I didn't go that deep into it. All I know is that watching him yesterday is whiff, whiff, whiff. And boy, there are times.
When he gets cold, he gets cold.
He gets
man.
Really cold.
I
yes.
mean, like, he really gets. And we hadn't seen that yet this year, a stretch like this with him, where he's striking out that much. You figured it was going to happen at some point, and it certainly happened yesterday during the doubleheader. But I was thinking about Cal Ripken. Remember, we had Cal Ripken in the studio and going through his seasons and only striking out like 30 times, 50 times a year, playing 162 games, and then seeing Aaron Judge do what he did yesterday. But. You know, is it that big of a deal in the Yankee world? Absolutely not. But it is. He really is like the microcosm of Major League Baseball with home runs and strikeouts and star power and the Yankees. I mean, it really is amazing what he can do power-wise and what he can do with strikeouts, which really is what the game is today. I mean, it's home runs and it's strikeouts, and we're post-steroid era. We're not talking about McGuire and Sosa and Bonds and all that stuff, but, I mean, it is... a power man's game. It is home runs, and if you're not in a home run, you're striking out. And another really interesting thing from the doubleheader yesterday was Giancarlo Stanton and Mike Fiers, because Fiers is the guy who hit Giancarlo Stanton in the face and, of course, knocked him out for the year that year, and then now he wears the guard by his jaw because of that. And it's a 3-1 count. Fiers comes inside, hits him in the elbow. Giancarlo Stanton is not happy at all, stares him down. Fiers, you can read his lips, says, "I'm not trying to hit you. No way, I'm not trying to hit you." Giancarlo Stanton was having none of that. And I kind of agree with Fiers that he wasn't trying to hit him. But I also agree with Stanton that if you're the dude that hit me in the face, then you hit me again, I am going to be ticked off. Next at bat, here comes Stanton, whap, probably about 150 miles an hour out of there, stares him down, bat flip, crosses home plate, and points at him. I thought that was an awesome moment. I loved that yesterday. Now, I didn't think that Fiers was trying to hit him when he hit him in the face or yesterday, but I just love that emotion from Giancarlo Stanton yesterday, even in a loss in the second game.
No, there's no question about it. I agree with you on all accounts. You don't think Fiers is hitting him, and you also don't blame Giancarlo Stanton for reacting the way he did. I would do the same. But if I were Fiers, I'm not backing down. I'm gonna still work inside. Gonna basically challenge him, and you know that's what professional sports is all about. You can't back down. I'm sure that he feels terrible that he hit him in the face. He feels terrible that he knocked him out of the season. He also probably knows in the back of his mind when he gets into that box, that's exactly what both guys are thinking about.
Yeah, without it,
you can't allow that effect to affect you. Both as a batter, which it did not, obviously, because even after getting hit is when he hit the home run. But as a pitcher, you just gotta keep the thing about Stanton. The ball that he hit for the home run is usually the ball that he swings and misses at.
Mm.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
That ball is a slider, a low and away, and that has been the kryptonite. 4-1 Giancarlo Stanton this year, and he actually just launches the ball. And
It hung up there a little bit. He waited back. It did hang a little bit. I mean, it wasn't like that nasty pitch that he's waving at, so it's not like Fiers made the best pitch, but you're right. It was one of those breaking balls that we've seen him strike out so many times on, but I'll tell you right now, if I'm Fiers, I would have been thinking about not pitching inside after I hit him the first time. It would have been in my head because...
Can't let it be in your head.
I know, man. But it would have been because this is a guy who I watched because of something I did get carted off the field.
I know. It's a hard deal.
And then this happens. I would have been thinking, if I go inside and it just tails a little bit and catches any part of him, we're having a brawl here. And to be quiet, he wasn't trying to hit him. He was just trying to get him out. So does he want a brawl? No. That's why I think he was working the way he was in that at-bat that led to the home run. And Giancarlo Stanton went up there, ticked off, and it worked. You know, it doesn't always work in baseball where you go up to the plate and you're angry or you're playing baseball angry. But with Giancarlo Stanton and that at-bat, it worked. I mean, generally calm, in control with baseball. You don't want to be overly emotional at the plate, especially.
Overly emotional.
Right, you don't want to be, right? I mean, in baseball, like in football, you could play with a lot of emotion. But like in baseball, if you're overthrowing, if you're angry as a pitcher, that's not going to work. If you're up at the plate and you're grinding your bat into dust, that's not going to work. You know, so Giancarlo Stanton, I think, legitimately went up to the plate angry and hit that home run. And it was just awesome to see. I mean, I'm not always on like the showboating, getting in guys' face thing. Like it depends on the situation. But last night, for whatever reason, I was totally into it. And when he pointed back at him when he crossed the plate, I was like fist bumping. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
When you see Stanton walking down first base and he's got his guns hanging out, you're like, oh boy, here we go, right? I mean, but, he got the better of him. And by the way, Al, I noticed that Chernoff came in and stuck his head in there and was talking to you while me and Gio are trying to do a show here and you're trying to pay attention to what we're talking about. Is he in a good mood today?
Seems very excited about those Kenny Loggins videos you were showing.
Right, he does, right?
Yes.
So it worked.
Did work.
Wow, it's pretty
big
good.
Big smile.
Right.
That guy just needs like a little bit of sunshine blown up you know where and everything's fine. And he got a little bit of that this morning. So I think he should be in pretty good shape.
The problem is you're going to have to do this every day in some shape or form because he's just going to revert to his old behavior very easily. So tomorrow you're going to have – I mean, there's a lot of those Daryl's House episodes. There's like hundreds of them.
Yes.
So you're just going to have to keep pumping
them in. Whatever it takes for me to make him happy.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Right.
I mean, I'm not capitulating to everything. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, right.
I mean, but I will, you know, but I need to make him happy. He needs to be a happier guy. I don't know what it is. You start talking about his grandkids, happy guy.
Sure.
Start talking about Indians baseball, happy guy.
Because, yeah, his son's a general manager. Yep,
right. I think he's a little conflicted with the Yankees, but he knows if the Yankees win, that's good for business.
Sure,
and
right.
So, and then he's happy for that.
Yeah, it's business and it's family. So
right, it's like the day that Mike came back, he was happy.
Right, of course.
I was so happy. I've never seen him so happy.
Cartwheels.
Right.
Yeah.
He opened the door for him.
Yeah, he did. No, absolutely. So you're right. If you could find a way to get him, turn that mood around every morning, we'll be better off for it.
Right. So this is my mission now. You know what I'm saying? Tomorrow I may pick him up and hug him.
It's a large undertaking, man.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of negativity that's swirling around in there, and you gotta get around all that stuff, and you just gotta figure out how to make a man happy.
That's sort of what Mickey Callaway needs to do with the Mets.
Holy crap!
Get all the negativity swirling around. He's got to squeeze it out somehow.
All right.
What?
Okay, we got it.
He does. All right. He needs to find a way.
Here's the thing. So yesterday we're talking about, you know, the whole, you know, they're playing in front of their fans. It's pressure. It's New York.
God.
And you just knew it. You knew it after we had spoken about it. And Jerry had played it for us that once everybody got to listen to that.
Yeah, they'd kill
them. They were going to react the way that they've had. And they have. And, of course, they have basically torn them apart now. And you are in New York. Nobody wants to hear about this is a big city. There's too much pressure. You know, we're all under pressure here, right? We all come to work every day. We all got to deal with the traffic every day. You got to deal with trying to get through the subway every day. I mean,
right.
You got to pick up the garbage every day. I mean,
everybody is
under pressure here.
But you do it, and you don't bring it up as an excuse.
What you talk about is the energy. You talk about the excitement. You talk about how people are hustle and bustle. Let's go.
Yeah, you can, as Mickey Callaway, put that on the players and say it's tough on players. I mean, it's tough on players. I mean, most of these guys have been here. They understand. And the ones that are new are veterans. I mean, that was a weird thing to put in the lap of the players. And it made them seem less than prepared for a season in New York where I don't think that that's the case. I mean, I think that there's been some bad baseball. There's been some injuries. But you can't tell me that. And they are terrible at home. But you can't tell me that a couple Mets fans booing a bad game or a bad play.
Well, it's not a couple.
Or,
it's probably three quarters of the Mets fans that actually show up at Citi Field. Right. And, you know, you talk about a start.
But that's going to affect those guys that much?
But you talk about a start for a guy. And Vargas is going to start tonight, right?
Oh, God.
You talk about a start for a guy against a team that is the worst hitting team in baseball in the American League. And, by the way, they're obviously not going to have a DH. And on top of all of that, they only have 17 wins. You talk about one of those middle of the season games that is all important to the team that is the home team, in this case, the Mets. This is it. If he goes out there and throws a stinker, Machado hits a grand slam or something, they lose like 6-5 or something like that. I mean, it's you talk about a low point in the season. They have to win these two games. They just have to win these two games. That's all there is to it. They're going against Alex Cobb today. He's 1-7. His ERA is what, like a 6-8 or something like that?
Yeah, he's one of those guys, too, that was out there and available for a long time that people were associating with the Mets. And
he's allowed 9 home runs. I mean, come on. This guy has gotten torn up the last couple times he's been out.
But he's still been better than Vargas, which is sort of crazy. You know, the Mets went with Vargas as their free agent pitcher that they added, and Cobb has been atrocious, and Vargas has somehow been worse.
Well, you know how pitchers from opposing teams just actually look at the Met lineup and just go, oh, yeah.
Oh, they
especially right now because of all the problems with Conforto and Bruce and the fact that Cespedes and Frazier, I don't know if Frazier will play today or not. But
especially at home, they can't hit at home.
Right. So I would think that if you're Vargas and you're looking at the other lineup with the exception of Machado and, you know, Chris Davis is a strikeout machine, you're like, well, I got this.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to go out there. He's got to continue his improved pitching. I'd like to see him go 7 innings. I mean, come on, let's go.
Yeah,
I mean, so you're playing. You have two terrible offensive teams. You have two terrible pitchers in terms of their ERA. I don't know what's going to happen, but all I know is that I'm telling you right now, if the Mets lose these games, you know, you talk about pressure and you talk about hearing it. You're going to be hearing it left and right, and it's going to be coming from all different angles. And if you are Mickey Callaway, Met fans and just sports fans in general don't want to hear about pressure of playing in New York City.
No, absolutely not. And even if they win these two games, they'd still be a game under 500 heading into the series against the Yankees over the weekend, where, I mean, I guess anything can happen, but do you really feel good about the Mets winning that series? So what does it even do? I mean, it's a two-game series against a bad team. What, so you go into the Yankee series 29-30 and cross your fingers and duck? I mean, that's the problem with the Mets, is that there's only a handful of teams that are worse than them right now on paper. So just about every series they go into, they're going to be the underdog in that series because they're that bad. This is a two-game series against a team that's actually worse. But even if you take both games, what does it mean? So that's the point that I'm at with them is, okay, you might give us a little stay of execution by beating up the Orioles. Maybe when you got Vargas and Wheeler going, and they have just been a total mess. But also, they've still got hitters in that lineup, and the Mets can't hit at home. And all it takes is one sometimes to beat the Mets. That's all it takes. So you can't tell me that you feel good about anybody playing anybody at Citi Field until this lineup gets whole and actually starts hitting, which may never happen because they have been that bad and we've seen it for a long time now. So I'm not even all that excited about the Orioles and their 17 wins rolling into Citi Field because I don't think they're going to get healthy off of them.
Well, listen, they better get healthy off of them. That's all that matters. I mean, enough's enough, right? The nonsense has got to stop, and it's got to stop now. And I'm sure that Mickey Callaway is probably feeling the pressure as well. It's the only thing I can think of. I mean, as much as he wants to love his players and all that other stuff, he better start getting more out of his players. I mean, you know, it's great to love your players. It's great to support your players. You know, Aaron Boone's doing the same type of thing, but it's a little bit easier because Aaron Boone's players are actually playing for him, and they're actually coming up with big hits. I thought Gardner was going to have that big hit last night late in the game, and I even thought maybe Sanchez.
Swung at the first pitch, Gardner, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, he knew the guy was going to throw a strike. So does he swing at the best pitch? I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
he's aggressive. He's always been aggressive, and I have no problem with that. And by the way, Clint Frazier working out a walk late in the game last night, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. He was down 0-2 early, but I think Gardner was up right after that.
He was.
But that's the reason why I don't love swinging at the first pitch when you walk a guy. I mean, right, with the bases loaded.
That's one thing. If that's Andujar or Gleyber Torres, I get that because they're young players. Gardner deserves more respect from you, meaning that, you know, he's been around a long time. He's had a lot of big hits. He's had a lot of big spots where he's come through.
Yeah, he certainly
has. Get up there
has.
And he's going to hack away knowing that that pitcher just threw four straight balls.
Yeah.
The guy's going to groove one for him, and he did, and he just missed it.
I don't know about he just missed it.
He just missed it.
I mean, it was opposite field. It was a fly ball out the left.
He just missed it.
That wasn't a just miss to me.
You know, it's amazing to me. If you hit 275, you're doing pretty good in baseball, right?
Yeah, sure.
And unfortunately, he was on the other end of that 275. But and one other thing, you know, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with the White House and the Philadelphia Eagles. Once again, the NFL is embroiled into a political firestorm, and everybody's taking sides all over the place. And it's unfortunate that once again, the President of the United States decides to use the NFL as a political platform to get his point across. I don't like it. You know, players don't want to go. They don't want to go. I don't like the fact that some players in the past have not gone before. And I know that this is a whole, you know, intense debate that's going on outside of the world of football. But now that we're brought back into it, here we go again.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's also a diversion tactic at times. I mean, I think it's also used in that way. But it is unfortunate that that's the type of stuff we're talking about. And a time in the NFL where there's really no news. Here we go again with more of that stuff.
Just remember, you know, Tim Thomas, the goalie for the Boston Bruins, did not go to the White House when President Obama was in the White House.
Right.
And I scolded him for that. And I said, you know what? It's not President Obama's White House. It's not Donald Trump's White House. It's all of our White House. You know, we all have a piece of it. It's the people's house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you don't want to go, I get it. I understand that, especially under the political intensity that's going on right now. But the whole – I mean, when you're the president of the United States, especially in a case like this, we're not talking about demilitarization of North Korea or anything like that. We're talking about a championship team visiting the White House. And I know players are using it as a political platform not to go because they don't like the president. I get it. I kind of understand that. But that doesn't mean other players don't want to go.
There's still plenty of guys that were going.
Go. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And if the people want to go, then they should go. It's unfortunate that some don't want to go because they too could show by going that, you know, they have an opportunity to talk to the president about whatever may be bothering them. And I'm sure he probably would have taken them into the White House, maybe the Oval Office, and sat down and listened. I don't know if he would have or not, but I think he probably would have. But at the end of the day, to not allow some of the players come or disinvite the Eagles, I think is a really, really bad
Trumpy McTrump face.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.